Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. On today's program, we'll hear the inspiring story of a woman who outran cancer and continued running in a very literal sense. Meet Terry Grieg in a few minutes. But first, St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay. Big city mayors always have a lot on their plates, and St. Louis certainly no exception. His Honor joins us now to talk about some of the things getting his attention these days. Mayor Slay, nice to see you again.
It's good to be with you, Don.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
A lot of things to talk about today. I'd like to begin with the minimum wage, which everyone seems to be talking about, not only here but in other parts of the country. You're proposing an increase to $15 an hour. You're fighting the clock on that to some degree, are you not?
Yes, we are. There was a bill that was introduced at the Board of Aldermen that allows local governments to establish a minimum wage, but not beyond August 28th. So we have until August 28th in order to do that. So a bill has been introduced, and one that is, you know, before the Board of Aldermen right now, and it would, over a five-year period, raise the minimum wage to $15.
And there's a proposed constitutional amendment in the works statewide for a minimum wage increase.
Yeah, there is one of those as well. One of the things I think the best approach is to do it on a state level. That is something that we have not seen happen. I'd like to see Congress do actually pass a minimum wage, and I would like to see the state. But we haven't seen any action from the state or the federal government. The minimum wage today is about a third in real dollars, about a third of what it was in the 1960s when it was at its peak. So, and we have as a country already decided that a minimum wage is necessary. The question here with this effort is what should that dollar amount be? And over what period of time, and when should it take effect? So the bill is before the Board of Aldermen, and it's going to be vetted publicly. We've got business community coming in. There're going to be hearings at the Board of Aldermen. So those are all going to be discussions that will be had as we move forward.
You know what the business community is going to say. Typically, the business community is not in favor of it. And there's some suggestion that businesses might leave St. Louis as a result of that coupled with the earnings tax.
Yeah, there's some of those claims. That's never been the case in the past. There have been studies done of cities that had minimum wages higher than adjoining counties or adjoining states. There's really no evidence data that there's any higher unemployment or that there would be businesses fleeing the jurisdiction because there's a higher minimum wage in one place compared to somewhere else. But keep in mind, we're taking a very responsible and deliberate approach. We want to make sure everybody's at the table talking about it. We do have a time deadline, but we have been, and I personally have been talking with business leaders as well. There isn't a lot of opposition, real strong opposition from business organizations. There are individual organizations that have a particular concerns about it. These are businesses that have a high level of low-income employees, minimum wage employees. So we're trying to work with them. Again, we want to make sure that we do this deliberately and we do it responsibly. But as I said in the press conference when we announced it, we're going to have a higher minimum wage. And we just want to make sure that we do it in a responsible and a deliberate way.
Have you touched base with your counterparts in Seattle, for instance, where they've just gone through this, to see where they are with it?
I have not. I have read some things about what happened in Seattle and what they've done in San Francisco. The mayor of New York is trying to get a hold of me now to talk about strategy. He's Mayor de Blasio. I got a call from him yesterday. Haven't been able to reach him yet to talk about what their experience have been, but I have done some reading about it, and I can tell you that generally the reaction we're getting from what I'm reading about is generally positive. Mm.
The elephant in the room these days in St. Louis is what's going on the streets. Crime is just at a fever pitch, if I can put it that way. What the world is going on? What is happening now? And we now have local control. The buck stops at the mayor's desk, presumably. What's going on here?
Well, first of all, our crime has we've seen an increase in crime compared to last year.
Particularly
violent crime. Yeah. With the homicides that we've seen, we're up close to 80. might be at 80 homicides. We're around that number compared to somewhere in the that's over 25 more than we had last year. That's a big jump in the homicides. We have more people using guns to settle their disputes. We have more guns out on our street than we've ever seen before. We have the police have a huge challenge before them. And addressing crime is a very complex thing to do. I mean, it's not just policing, although policing is very, very important. And that's something that we're committed to continue our efforts to support the police department with resources. There's bills before the Board of Aldermen that would modestly raise some fees to help pay for more police officers to give the police the support that they need. But addressing crime, it's like a three-pronged approach. It's getting people who terrorize our streets, getting them off the street, arresting them, finding them, and getting them off the streets. But also getting serious about the sentences that are doled out by the judges. We can't have our system be a revolving door. And thirdly, and long term, is it's something that we're working on continuously is creating social, economic, and environment and opportunities so that people have opportunities to live a life without committing crimes. So we've done a lot of things in that area, and we're going to continue to be aggressive, whether it's creating better quality education, job opportunities, summer jobs programs, programs to help improve opportunities for minorities in our community. We have a BUD program, Building Union Diversity. There's a bridge program that's going to get 3,000 people that are unemployed in our region and connect them with jobs that are actually available. We had a $5 million grant from the federal government. Creating better quality education opportunities because of our efforts and supporting St. Louis Public School District and creating good quality charter schools as well. The number of performing seats based on state standards in the city of St. Louis has doubled in the last 5 years, and enrollment in public schools is actually increasing for the first time in about 50 years as well. So we're working on all these different fronts. I can tell you the most frustrating is on the ground, on the streets, in arresting individuals and seeing some of these individuals who are multi-time offenders and yet are right back on the street victimizing innocent people in our streets time and time again. So we are the police department, certainly we're not working in a vacuum. We are working with criminologists, watching and see what we're seeing, what other cities are doing from a best practices standpoint, and adopting those things here as well. I will tell you that we're experiencing some of the things that they experienced in Cleveland back when they had a similar incident with a police shooting in Cincinnati. Crime went up precipitously over a period of time as well. So we're dealing with a lot of dynamics here. But make no mistake about it, there is nothing more important in the city of St. Louis than everybody, no matter what neighborhood you're living in, feeling safe, where kids can go out and play without parents having fear that something terrible is going to happen to them. So this is something we take very seriously and not only talk about, we're working hard at a lot of different fronts to continue to improve not only quality of life, but also improve the safety of the city and every neighborhood.
I get the feeling when you talk about Cleveland and more specifically talk about Cincinnati that you're maybe attributing some of this spike to Ferguson.
Well, yeah. Well, we do think that and we've seen what happened in those cities and we see what's happening here in the city of St. Louis. We do think that there is, an effect that where emotions are high. We have a situation where we think criminals are feeling emboldened. And at the same time, there may be a level of trepidation by police. They don't want to be the next one that's going to be on the front page there is a high, which I think is important. There's a high level of sensitivity, and there should be. But I also I think all these things come together. Now, having said all that, I mean, in the end, our cops are doing their jobs. They're arresting more people now than they have last year. Last I checked, arrests were up 7% over last year. And so they are doing their jobs. They are making the arrests. But having said that, there are a lot more other things that need to happen other than just arrest people and putting behind bars to reduce crime. If we can get more of our criminals behind bars, and plus, you know, once they get out of prison, we need to make sure we have opportunities through prison reentry programs, and we're supporting those. We've got after school programs for children that these are young people up to their lower 20s, I think up to 23 years old. We've got programs, summer jobs program now that'll employ 1,500 young people. This is a private program that we started, and now we've gotten some state money for it as well to support it and to expand it. We want to make sure we give these young people more opportunities. So I can tell you that we've got a lot of work to do, but it's not just about policing. It's about a lot of other things as well.
What about the pressure on you personally as mayor? As I indicated earlier, the buck stops here. You're the guy who's accountable now for what goes on in the city with regard to law enforcement. How does that impact you personally as the accountable guy?
Well, in the end, I've always been accountable for that, and I'm okay with accountability. That's not, you know, I knew that coming into this job, and I knew it every time I decided I wanted to run for another term. The buck does stop here, and it does take leadership, and it does take partnerships, and we're doing a whole heck of a lot of things. You know, some of the things that we've been able to do is we've now gotten a choice neighborhood planning grant for North St. Louis City. There's also a promise zone. We're a city promise zone designation from the federal government for North City and North County. We also have a $5 million grant, which is a Bridges to Work program, where we're going to be able to connect 3,000 unemployed people to jobs that already exist. So we're being aggressive, and we're doing a lot of things to try to address crime. It's not good enough. Okay, so because as you can see, we still see the numbers going up. I do think we need a gun court. I think we need to make sure that there is more accountability, not just with the mayor, and I'm happy to have the accountability, but there needs to be more accountability with our courts. And what's happening when the police are arresting people and putting them in the judicial system? There was a study that was done, and under the armed offender, we were going to do an armed offender docket or a gun docket. We were asking the judges to do one.
I remember.
And we had a model for it. They rejected our model. The state government wouldn't do it. And so they put their own together, but under their own program, which was ineffective, wasn't done, I don't think, in an effective way, 62% of gun criminals were released on probation. That means about out of 326 cases, 204 gun felons walked out of the courthouse on paper. This is a critical public safety issue. There has to be consequences. Multiple probations where somebody commits a violent crime, gets slapped on the wrist, gets put on probation, goes back on the street, commits another crime, and then they get probation again. Those are real things that are happening. It's frustrating for me as mayor. It's frustrating for the police that are out there putting their lives on the line to protect our citizens, arresting them, putting them in the system, and then they come right back out and they commit more crimes. That is very frustrating for us.
I have to take a break, but a moment ago you were talking about what it takes to win re-election very quickly. There are rumors amongst some of the political reporters in town you're not going to run for a fifth term. Can you say whether you're going to or not?
I plan on running again, absolutely.
All right, that's Mayor Francis Slay. He's with us in studio. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And as time allows, we'll bring you into the discussion as well as 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email if you or send us a tweet if you like at STL on Air. Back with Mayor Francis Slay in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with Mayor Francis Slay of St. Louis in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. A St. Louis Board of Aldermen committee heard a request from Alderman Antonio French today to create a special committee that would investigate police shootings. He says the recently approved Civilian Oversight Board doesn't have any teeth and won't take effect until 2016 at the earliest. There was no vote on the issue today. This morning, Catholic bishops from across the country began their annual meeting, which is being held here in St. Louis. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops will focus its talks in part on issues affecting the American family, but they are also expected to discuss Pope Francis's fall U.S. visit and his upcoming statement on the environment. And with Illinois lawmakers at an impasse over a new state budget, Illinois Comptroller Leslie Munger is preparing for what could happen if there is no spending plan in place when the new fiscal year begins on July 1st. The Republican, who controls the state's checkbook, says she'll outline the consequences of inaction during a news briefing later today. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Mayor Slay. Any reaction to what Antonio French is trying to do, by the way? You just heard he wants to set up a special operation here with regard to a committee to investigate police shootings.
I think it's a bad idea. The Board of Aldermen engaged, and city government and the community engaged in a very long and very public process to come up with a civilian review board, which was passed by the Board of Aldermen. And it is a bill that most people thought either went too far or didn't go far enough. But it was a compromise. And I think that was important, and that's why it's a good bill. We got to make sure that there is the appropriate, you know, scrutiny in terms of policing, and we also need to make sure that we have a thing in place that's going to strengthen the department and build a better relationship between the community and the department. This bill does that. We do not want an elective body grandstanding or engaging in, you know, making this, you know, a highly charged political and grandstanding event. This is something that's really important. These cops are out on the street protecting our families, making our neighborhood safer. We have a system in place within the department where they do a very good job in investigating, you know, alleged acts of misconduct by police. And now we're going to have an even further, now we're going to even have a public approach to this through the Civilian Review Board. So I think we need to do what we've all agreed to do as we move forward. And I believe he voted for this bill as well, to have something that makes sense. And not only makes sense for the community, but also makes sense for the cops as well that are out there, you know, risking their lives to protect all of us.
So you're saying Antonio French is grandstanding?
Well, I think I mean, that's what it looks to me about. I mean, we've got a system in place. We had a very public process. We had a lot of people on, you know, we had a lot of people at the table talking about this. And so we have a bill in place. It's been passed, and we're moving forward with it. There's going to be community members that are going to be part of this. They're going to be picked, chosen by, they're going to be nominated by the Board of Aldermen. And then I make the appointments, and then they get to approve it, and then we can go forward from there. But I do think this looks like political grandstanding, and it seems like an effort to, I think, unduly politicize what is, I think, a very serious process that we ought to all be getting behind.
Let's talk football stadium, another big topic these days. Are we going to have, should we have, a public vote on using public funds for a new stadium?
That is an issue that's, you know, certainly been out in the public for quite some time now, and it is a It is something that has been discussed a lot. Here's what I can tell you. We are in the middle of litigation right now. The city of St. Louis is. We're being sued by the sports authority, the regional sports authority of the RSA, and our on our ordinance. We are defending our ordinance that deals with this very topic. So I'm a little bit hesitant to say anything that would impact negatively the litigation or be claimed as trying to do something to impact the litigation. So I will tell you, though, that what we've agreed to do is, as a city, this is a city and state effort. I mean, there's a lot of state money in this. The governor has chosen to take the lead as we move forward, and I committed to support him in that effort. In the end, we are going to follow the law, whatever the law is.
Well, of course, with a new football stadium, you need a football team. And I think a lot of people's eyebrows are being raised by the fact that it looks like we might lose the Rams. No guarantee another team will come in. And here we are planning a football stadium.
Well, you know, first of all, in order to get us before the plans that have been talked about are clear in a lot of respects. I mean, there's some stuff that hasn't been determined yet, but the plans are clear in a lot of respects, one of which is there will be no stadium built unless we have a solid NFL commitment to a team. And because the plan that has been talked about would require, you know, well over $400 million, maybe a half a billion dollars in private money that's going to have to be part of the effort. If that isn't there, the city's not going to do what the city did 20 years ago or 25 years ago when they built a stadium before there was a team. So there's not going to be a stadium unless there is a solid commitment for a team and a commitment by the NFL and the team to put a lot of money in the deal, private money.
There are property owners down there who are squawking, too, because there are some historic buildings that would be lost in this project.
Well, I think that, you know, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great place to put the stadium. It's on the riverfront. In an area that, if anybody's been by there, doesn't look like any effort to do any development. There's no interest in it. It has been sitting there blighted for a long, long time, and it is in between the new Mississippi River Bridge, and the Arch, and a beautiful Four Seasons Hotel. That area is prime for development. And I think it would be spectacular. So it gives us not only an opportunity to keep St. Louis as an NFL city, but also take a highly blighted and neglected and dilapidated area and make it into something that's real positive for the riverfront, and to continue our efforts to turn our backs, instead of away from towards the river, turn ourselves towards the river and take advantage of the great asset that the river really is.
You would like to convince the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency to stay in St. Louis, correct?
Yes.
Property owners in North St. Louis and the old Pruitt-Igoe property is what they're talking about as a potential site. Folks up there don't want it.
Well, there's never going to be a plan of this magnitude and is this visionary that's going to be supported by everybody. Okay, but I can assure you that there is an area up there that has seen, and this is what there's an area in the city in the near north side that's seen a lot of private disinvestment over many, many decades, and this is an opportunity to keep. If this site is not available for the NGA, we're going to lose 3,100 jobs in the city of St. Louis. That's a lot of tax dollars, a lot of activity that. And a big blow to our image if we were to lose that into another state. We need to do two things. First of all, we need to make sure we are very responsible in our efforts to redevelop an area that has seen little investment, if any investment, over 50, 60-year period of time. And we got to do it, again, we've got to do it responsibly. We've got to do it in a way that's sensitive to those who've been living in the neighborhood for a long period of time, and we are going to, and we've got a plan to do that. And secondly, we need to keep these 3,100 jobs in the city of St. Louis, as well as there is potential that they're going to actually consolidate more jobs in the city if we were able to keep them here.
Where are you in the process of trying to keep it here?
We are in the process of assembling the site, the land. There are a whole lot of parcels that are involved in this.
Is there a negotiation going on, though, with the government?
Well, there is, not with the government, not with the federal government. What we're doing is there are privately owned parcels, and we are working on a plan to assemble those. We are in discussions with landowners, property owners. We've engaged people that will help with relocation. We want to use eminent domain as a very, very last resort. So we're going to try to avoid it altogether. So we're really getting aggressive in terms of our efforts to make sure that we have the resources to get displaced residents into a quality home and even move their home if they want to into another neighborhood if that works for them.
How many residents would be displaced? I mean, the Pruitt-Igoe site is a vacant site right now. It's a pretty big plot of land.
Yeah, well, if you know, from a, and believe me, we're taking this in a very sensitive approach. you displace one family. That's too many, you know, in terms of when we look at it from their perspective. So we want to make sure we do this with dignity. We want to do this with respect. We want to do this with a very sensitive approach. But one of the issues we have in the city is because we all are an older city, we have a lot of fragmented properties with different types of infrastructure issues and deterioration, contamination. A lot of these other things are involved. So trying to get and keep a company of this magnitude in our city is not easy. So what we need to do is make sure we have the land available. That will require, and we own a lot of it. The city does ourselves. But the land that we don't own, we're going to have to find a way to acquire it in a appropriate and in a fair way.
Let's take a couple of calls. Time is beginning to slip away, and I want to get some folks into the conversation as best we can. We'll bring in Linda, who is calling from St. Louis. Linda, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Slay. I'm really glad that you're supporting increasing the minimum wage. We don't need an underclass of people who can't afford to take care of themselves. But is there some way, since the legislature is putting this deadline on you, since they really don't want you to increase the minimum wage at all, is there some way to legislate some flexibility so that as we watch what happens in the economy and we watch what happens in other cities who are doing this, you could give yourself some wiggle room to make it go faster, slower, et cetera?
Unfortunately, the legislature is not going to give us any more wiggle room, I don't believe. So we have to go ahead with what, you know, the state has dictated. But I will tell you and other listeners that we are being very deliberate in our approach. We are talking to, you know, people who were reading about what's going on in other cities. And I'm going to be talking to, I know, the mayor of New York as well. But what we're going to do is make sure that as we go forward, we've got business people, economists, and anybody else at the table that want to give us advice on how we approach this. I think the minimum wage is going to be raised. I think it's unfortunate that Congress wouldn't act. I think it's unfortunate that the state would not act. So we're going to have to take a lead, and I see other cities, you know, all over the country and even in the region. I think a lot of them are going to follow suit ultimately if they can, if they're able to under their laws, because this is something that really does impact cities. What we found with minimum wage, as I read, is that minimum wage actually helps boost the economy. It gives people more spending money, particularly low-income workers, more spending money, so they put it back in the economy. It also helps employers employ people. It's easier to recruit when you're paying higher wages. But we're not going to be irresponsible as we approach this thing. So we're being very deliberate and very careful. I think it's going to work out great.
Speaking of wages, a lot of people are looking at what's going on in City Hall now in the Recorder of Deeds office, where Sharon Carpenter is, I guess the term is double dipping. She's getting a pension and also a salary. And now is looking for a $700 a month stipend for a city car. That's a lot of money to rent a car, I suppose. What is your take on that? You can't do anything about it because that's a county office, correct?
You know, I don't have a lot of direct influence over that because her office does not report to me. But we're not going to let it happen. We are going to.
That's the car stipend you're talking
about.
Yeah,
there is a capital committee that meets, and I'm asking them to. It's a variety of city employees asking them to reverse their approval of the car automobile, certainly based upon the information that we have. And I don't think she's going to have the car when it's all over with, or the allowance.
All right, let's take another call. Tim joins us from the 15th Ward in the city. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call this afternoon. My question is actually regarding the Real-Time Intelligence Center and the constant calls for increasing funding of the police force. Just about every single neighborhood meeting association that I go to down here, we have the local captain, I think, asking us that, you know, the police force needs more money in an effort to put more officers on the street, which I completely agree with. What I kind of have a problem with, though, is it seems like the bond measure was up to the Board of Aldermen, and they didn't end up passing it. And the police department unilaterally went out and secured private funding to spend millions of dollars on this real-time intelligence centers, yet not really addressing the issue of having more officers on the street. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. There's a lot there in your question, but here's what's going on. First of all, we do have a bond issue that was approved by the Board of Aldermen, but it has to go to the voters for approval that contains some money for police department, buildings, equipment, and real-time intelligence. There is another bill before the Board of Aldermen that is not a bond issue, but it would increase a couple of fees, basically, adjusting for inflation. One is an automobile license fee, and another would be a parking garage fee in the city of St. Louis, and would dedicate red light camera money to this as well, which would help pay for more police officers, and it would just be for personnel. So there are two different things that are going on. We've got the bond issue that would include money for, police department building, equipment, real-time intelligence, and another that was not approved by the Board of Aldermen, but it is before them, and we're hoping that they will pass it and put it to the vote of the people. Hopefully maybe the bond issue is going to be on the ballot in August, and that's a capital bond issue. And the other one is fee increases for those two items that I talked about to help support more police in the city of St. Louis.
Thanks very much for the call. We've only got a little over a minute left. Next year, voters in the city are going to vote once again on the earnings tax. If in fact, that is eliminated, what happens to the city? More specifically, the idea of hiring more police officers.
Yeah, the earnings tax generates about $140, $150 million now for the city of St. Louis.
That's
about
not chump change.
About a third of our general operating budget. We would be in dire straits without that. We can't replace it unless we have something. We can't eliminate it unless there is a viable plan to replace it. I expect that the voters in that election will do the same thing they did it last time. Unless there's something viable that would replace it, I would expect, although I'm not taking that for granted, that the voters would say, wait a minute, we need to keep this until we have a plan that makes sense to replace it.
We have to stop there, but I don't know why you'd want to run for a fifth term with all this stuff going on. Oh, my. Mayor Slay, thank you so much for being with us. Great to talk to you again, and we'll see you again soon, yeah, I hope.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up, a woman who faced the ultimate health challenge and ran away from it, literally ran away. Back with Terry Grieg in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.